Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The text for the message today is from the Gospel lesson, wherein we hear St. John, one of the sons of thunder, who tries to pick sides, and who is going to be on whose side. Somebody, John says, is casting out demons, but he is not one of us. Jesus responds, "Do not stop him, for the one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil with me, will not be able to speak evil with about me. For anybody who is for us is not against us." And Jesus also uses some illustrations in this teaching to St. John and all those who were collected there. If you cause a child to sin, it would be better for you if a great millstone was tied around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. And Jesus has spoken like this before. Remember the rich man that came to Jesus? Actually, it's the parallel text of this in Mark. "Jesus, what must I do?" And Jesus told the rich man, "Go sell all that you have and give it to the poor." So, are these penalties for sin, or is Jesus pointing to a greater reckoning? Pastors like to use words like this to describe this. It's either prescriptive or descriptive, meaning, does Jesus prescribe what you should do, or is he describing a greater meaning? Certainly, he's not prescribing that you physically harm yourself so that you can punch your ticket and arrive in heaven. Rather, it is clear that from our own actions and deeds that separate us from Jesus Christ himself, and it is Christ's deeds which forgive our sins and bind us to him and bring us to eternal life. St. Matthew also adds in that parallel text, "But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart." How many of you remember that one back in confirmation classes when you first heard that? Whether it was as an adult, you know, or way back when in confirmation class, and you're thinking, "Okay, Mr. Pastor, Mr. Wise Guy, generally nice guy too, you're telling me that if I think about this, it's as if I had really done it. And you're telling me that goes for all the commandments too? Wow." No, I'm not telling you that. I'm conveying to you that Christ has told you that that is the way it is. And whether your confirmation class was a few weeks ago or many, many years ago as a child, reckoning yourself with your own sin has always been a parlor game. It's always a series of negotiations. "Well, I didn't physically kill anybody. I didn't kill my neighbor when he mowed his grass onto my driveway, but I might have said something behind his back. Well, I only get the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition because I like to see what the latest trends are in swimsuits." Yeah, right. The world in which we live has gone numb to the reality of sin and the joy of living in Christ's presence. So we might ponder, "But wait a minute, isn't it fair that it's been this way since Adam and Eve, and they're the ones that are responsible for it? We're just victims of circumstance, like stooges We negotiate our way into and out of sin every single day. Again and again and again, we negotiate our way in and out. In fact, we oftentimes sit there and ponder the sins of our early youth or days before, and we ponder our way out of those sins as well. And whether the sin is what we've done or what we've left undone, our excuse is to wonder or to deny that we went there. And it's not my fault, it's my feet that carried me there. We might move from one place to another to get something regardless of our better judgment. We walk into fights, into homes, other people's personal business, into bad situations, and then we turn right back out around and walk out of relationships. We walk out of people's lives. We walk out of promises, contracts, and sometimes even parental responsibility. And then when a red flag is thrown, or when we're nabbed or exposed of our illegal procedure, by our feet, of course, not by us, we don't even think that our foot should be removed, or that eye should be plucked out, or so on or so on. But you know, ultimately, all those body parts really don't have much choice, do they? It's the mind that interprets the information that comes through the eyes and distributes orders to the hands and the feet, and they have no choice. It is the mind that is the source of all sin. In the gospel reading from just a few weeks ago, we heard Jesus say, "From within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." So it's our thoughts and our feelings and our desires and so forth that is the true cause of the scandal. And if Jesus is right about removing the scandal from our lives, and he is, then truthfully, it is our inner being that's got to go. That means that we must die to sin. It's one of those amazing and marvelous paradoxes that God placed before us. In order to avoid death, we must die. It doesn't even sound right, does it? This is the reason that God must do the work of rescuing us from sin and death. It is God who must put us to death so that we may live forever. The Apostle St. Paul put it this way, "For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ." Those very words of Scripture are words that we read at every Christian burial. It points to the reality that Jesus Christ died for us. And though we are dead in our sin in Christ, we do not die but live in him eternally. Jesus said it would be a better option than missing out eternity in the house of our Heavenly Father, meaning the stakes are very, very high. And our sins carry us along a path that is very, very low. Judgment comes for each and every one of us, whether to enter eternal life or eternal death. Yet we live out our lives like we're King David. We seek out that which is not ours, and we want to get it come hell or high water. Our eyes have missed the glory of the coming of the Lord because we're trying to sneak a peek of the glory of watching someone else getting their comeuppance. Pluck, tear, rip, pluck out that eye, cut off that hand, remove that foot, put on that millstone necklace, and then look at your future promises. A place where worms do not die and the fire is not quenched. And one does not need eyes to enter the kingdom of God. So now I'm going to ask you a question and answer it truthfully. Have you or have you not nudged that person right next to you and asked, "Where did we get this guest pastor? Where in the world did they find him? Smithy's coming back next week, right? My previously sunny, beautiful blue sky day is getting kind of gloomy. Man, when is this guy going to stop?" Repent and rejoice. Your hands and your feet and your senses do cause you to sin, and they do allow you to see the effects of the sin in this world. But removing them will not pay for your sin. There is nothing you can do that cleanses you from sins rather than that which Christ has already done for you. Christ has forgiven you all your sins. You don't need to give him a hand up. His hand was nailed down for you. He does not need your soulful eyes. Rather, his eyes look down from the cross to see that all who believe are the souls of his forgiven children. It is Jesus Christ who carries you. It is Jesus Christ who blesses you. It is Jesus Christ who desires to look upon you with his loving eyes in the presence of the Father and the Holy Spirit. And like the psalmist wrote in our psalm this morning, when you open your hand, they are filled with good things. Today, that's true for you. Eat and drink the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of all your sins. And in our Old Testament lesson, Moses said to Aaron, "Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them." God in Christ Jesus has done that for you too. The Lord has put his Spirit upon you in the waters of your holy baptism, and you have been marked as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Yet the law in our hearts still says, well, what do I got to do? St. James says, "Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." In response to that which Christ Jesus has done for us, we are called to share the gospel with everyone who is around us. Should we do nothing because Christ has done it all? No, of course not. Because of what Christ has done, we forgiven sinners share that gospel, that good news with all the people who are around us. It doesn't earn us or merit us salvation in any way. Rather, it is the Holy Spirit who works through us, who works through means to bring people to faith. It is not only better that you do this, but it is better that you enter the kingdom of God. It is better that all would believe in Jesus Christ, too. It is better that you enter the kingdom of God, and the path, the doorway to salvation is not made of your works. It's made of Jesus Christ himself. Through Jesus Christ alone, through faith alone. It is done. It is finished. In your actions, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is greater than any action you may have. And it is he who guides you to eternal life. So the law has gone away. At least for those who believe and are baptized, you are forgiven children of God, not just y'all, you individually, singular, each and every one of you are forgiven children of God. Isn't that a great blessing? Thank God that Jesus Christ has done it for us, because we could never do that on our own. We thank God for his Son, Jesus Christ, in his name. Amen. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ bless us all. In his name, amen.